Yo, what up? What's going on, y'all? Y'all checking out the Grind Ethics Mixtape Show, and I'm your host, Victory, BX Supreme Promoter, basically. Nah, I mean, nah, I'm Shane, basically. Yo, I'm here with my West Coast Connect, not that type of Connect, but my West Coast Connect, Dell Harrison. But before I start the interview, anybody that liked this episode of the Grind Ethics Mixtape Show, I'd be very grateful if you could hit me with a small donation. I'm trying to build up a video production studio. Also, trying to generate some money to basically implement a big marketing campaign to build up a fan base for Grind Ethics. You know what I mean? And I'm trying to move out my mama house. Right, Harrison? I'm trying to move with Dell. I'm trying to get her, make her a roommate, my roommate.
Is that right?
She's like, nah, nigga.
I'm trying to actually be my own roommate.
Anyway, I'm here with comedian, funny girl, my West Coast Connect, Dell Harrison. Clap for yourself, Miss Harrison.
First of all, come on here. You got to do all the work. At least clap for me. Excuse me.
Okay, I'll clap for you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. So how is this crazy pandemic treating your career right now?
It's treating my career actually extremely well. Like, you know, I'm gonna be so sad for the end, actually. So, you know, I can't say enough how if I had gotten a big acting job and got a check and was just able to sit at home and, like, you know, these are the things I would be doing anyway. So it's allowed me to really, like, reconnect with myself. Like, really focus on the acting job. Now I'm taking a class because one thing I did realize is, well, I always realized it too, which is why I moved to L.A., but, like, one thing I did realize is, you know, at a moment's notice, you could be relying on this one thing. You know, we rely on stand-up as a marketing tool to help us get to acting jobs and, you know, all types of opportunities, and when the shutdown happened, there was no more stand-up. So now it left me personally just focusing on the opportunity, like the acting opportunities. So I've gotten more of those because I've been able to focus.
Okay, that's cool.
You know, and I just really like that, you know, updated my forehead shots and, you know, had a sit down with my agent, and not a sit down, but, you know, a phone call with my agent, who's just like, you know, redefining the things that I do, you know, best, or how she can help me. You know, when things are busier, people aren't taking the time out to connect with the opportunities that are best for them, you know, because they're just like, oh, what? This opportunity seems great over here. All right, I'll just run over here. And then, you know, it's all this left, right, head turning, you know, tennis match, you know, trying to get the thing that's going to take you to the top when everything just slowed down. It was just like, oh, okay, I just want to do this that can take me to the top. And guess what? This is getting me, like, so much closer. And it's really been those, like, checks, you know, that have come in, a lot of relief checks are out there for us artists, and they really do help you to, you know, hold you up during this time. So,
yeah, it's crazy. I feel sorry for anybody to just rely on one thing, whether it's being paid doing comedy shows or getting paid doing a regular job or whatever. It's just you gotta. I don't know. Human beings are just one track minded. That's why we fucked up in the end. You gotta have multiple incomes.
Yeah.
Definitely. So what made you want to get into the crazy world of comedy?
Comedy just called me, and I really didn't try to get it. Comedy just called me in. And I was trying to tell Comedy I would call it right back. But it was kept calling me. And I was like, let's go out on a date, Comedy. And then I went out on one date and he had the best she ever said. Yeah, I work at this club, and a friend of mine is an actress, and she was like, I used to come in there every night, and I would tell her my stories, and she would be like, Mama, we got to get you on stage. Mama, no, you're going to be on stage. These stories need to be on stage. What are you waiting for? And, you know, I used to be like, I'm so afraid to be on stage. And she would be like, I don't care, you know, just get over it and get on stage. And I would see her come to that club, and she is an actress, and if she had any role or anything, I'm talking about, it didn't matter who was passing drinks out and passing fried chicken to the customers. She was on that, you know, in that club, and she would just stop in mid walk, and she'll just bust out an audition move, you know, she's a dancer. She would just bust out an audition move and count, and everybody was like, and she did not care. And I just was like, I want that confidence. I will just take that confidence. Like, it just did something to me. It transferred to me watching her so much. And, you know, I'm just so grateful that I met that girl. I'm just so grateful.
Okay. That's cool. Have you ever bombed the show? I mean, actually, how you did on that show, actually?
Well, that wasn't the show. That was just her telling me to get up there.
Okay.
But have I ever bombed?
Oh, yeah, have you ever bombed the show? Yeah.
Only 600,000 times. You know, as a comedian, if I hear somebody say that they've never bombed, that means they only bomb. You know what I'm saying? Because when you are a writing working comedian, you're gonna bomb. And if you don't bomb, that means you are so hacky and you are so like your comedy is just used material. Because when you're writing new material, even Dave Chappelle and Chris Rock and, you know, the best of them will bomb because you know the funny concept. And yes, you are within your personality the more experience you get, but you still don't have the connection, which is why you have to get on stage and reconnect all the time. You know what I'm saying? So the stage, you know, it's a skill. It's not like you can, it's not like the barbershop. You go in there, you be like, what, nigga, please, and whatever, that. Yeah, all your friends already know you, but it's this other skill that you get from being on stage that helps you to connect to someone really quickly. So if you're getting on stage and you just never bomb, I mean, let me just tell you, you probably got some hacky material, because that means you're physical. I mean, and I can't say it, this is for everybody, but this is for most true comedians. If you're writing new material constantly, every set is going to go good. You're going to bomb, and I don't care how long you've been doing it. You know, that's what it is.
I hear that. So basically, you practice many, many times. What was the point where, and of course, you developed your confidence. What was the point, or what year, or what time you was like, you know what, I'm nice right now?
I don't know if you ever get to the, if you saying a whole bunch of I'm nice right now, you...
Oh, at least good.
You know, I don't know. All of the thing about it too is you have to keep it humble. You know what I'm saying? Like, so as soon as I be like, yeah, no, I got... Now, when I get an opportunity and I get nervous, I do reassure myself, like, no, I've been doing this. I'm born to do this. Like, you know, like, when I pass the microphone, I be like, oh, dang on my boo right there. No, I love you so much. The love. It's not like, yo, I'm nice. because you're as good as your last show. So you can be so nice on one night, and then the next night you can look like you just started out, because you have to keep that humility going. You know what I'm saying? So I do consider myself experienced, but, you know, every time I hit the stage, it's a new experience. So I go there with the humility, and I don't be like, yo, I'm not, because anytime I start with a yo, I'm nice, or I go in any venue with a yo, I'm nice, it doesn't go well.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's like you jinxing yourself.
Yes, because you got to start with humility. Like, people feel arrogant, and they respond very negatively to it. They don't want to hear anything you say, and you think you're better than everybody else. You know what I'm saying? Now, if you can laugh at yourself, like, that's what they're here to do. They're here to laugh at you, with you, and laugh at them with, you know what I'm saying, with you as well. But, you know, if you thinking you all that, you know, it's good to have confidence, because people feel low confidence, but arrogance is just a fine line, and you got to, like, you know, you definitely got to keep it humble, you know?
Of course.
And humble is to be thankful.
Of course, of course. Yo, I'm going to tell you a story how I met Dale. I was on Twitter, right? And she had a little skit, a Uber skit, right? She had some dude playing her nephew driving an Uber taxi, whatever, right? And she was driving, and, she was eating, right? And her nephew was like, auntie, don't eat in the car. And she kept on eating. And her nephew cursed the shit out of her, and she pulled his braids, and he started crying, and he was like, I'm gonna tell mommy. And she pulled her braids again, was like, I'll beat her too. How you think I got these skills? Yo, I was watching that shit every day for like a month. Every day for like a month. That shit was dumb funny. That shit was mad funny. I wonder how your nephew is.
My nephew is gay. He is actually good. He's doing his thing too. That is everybody he was talking about. Mink. You could follow him at Official Mink. He is so, like, such a nice guy doing his thing, you know. So many funny skits. We did another one too after that. So,
okay.
You know, that way, like, I love working with Mink too, because he has so much direction.
He was like, your stolen car. You stole. He do look like an LA gangbanger too. Took a stolen car.
And he plays off of that so well.
That shit was hilarious. That shit was damn. I forgot what I was gonna ask you now. That shit was so funny. I'm thinking about it. Yeah, who inspire you? What comedians inspire you to basically to do or to keep on maintaining doing comedy?
I can tell you that, like, Dave Chappelle, I love his comedy so much. You know, he is just a funny guy. I really admire how much he looks at he looks at the current events and is able to put his spin on it. I love that so much about him. And that just, he comedically inspires me. Comedic actress-wise, business-wise, I'm really inspired by Tiffany Haddish and Amanda Seales, because I know them. And I saw them go through I didn't see Tiffany Haddish close up front, but, like, Tiffany Haddish and I think she started maybe 5 years ahead of me, but we met at Laugh-A-Palooza. And I remember her, like Tiffany has always been a very boisterous personality, know, like in awe of her being like, what, nigga, please, you better da 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 da. So I would just kind of sit back and always be in awe of her, you know. But anyway, I remember running into her one time at the J Spot, which is J. Anthony Brown's club. And she was hosting one night, and Jay always, like, you know, every time I came in town, Jay always, like, let me work there. Whoever was managing, he would always, like, you know, hook me up with a spot. And she was hosting one night, and we was in the bathroom, and she was like, yo, she was like, you can't be coming out here to visit, yo. You need to come out here and post up. And that's how you get it. And then that same night, I was talking to Jay in the lobby. Well, actually, like, another like, maybe a year after that, I was talking to Jay in the lobby. And J. Anthony Brown, he was like, no, maybe it was the same night. But anyway, I was talking to J. Anthony Brown, and he was like, I was like, yeah, I want to move. He was like, yo, just move. I was like, I'm just trying to pay off a couple. He was like, yo, them things going to follow you. You got bills out there. You got bills up here. Figure out a way and just find a way and just move out here. That's the only thing to do. You can't be over here, you know, thinking people going to call you from over there to come on over here. Just move out here because you got to do it, you know. And so many people inspired me. So that's Tiffany, that's J. Anthony Brown. He's been one of my, like, I just love him so much. Amanda Seals, because Amanda has the story. Like, people see Amanda being famous. Now, Amanda has been working at Fame since she was 9 years old.
Well, I didn't know that. Get the hell out of here. Word? Right.
9 years old, yes.
I remember seeing her in Fame.
No, not Fame. I'm talking about being highly visible in the business.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the TV show Fame.
No, she's been working at being highly visible in the business she's been working at it since she was 9 years old. She was okay. On, like, Nick Kids or something like that. So, you know, you think about all of these people that you are on stage with them, and they're having the same woes. They're wondering when it's going to happen. People going through, you know, money is tight, and people going through it, trying to make it there, and then you see them make it, and, you know, and when I say make it, I mean be regulars on a highly visible thing where they can now not have to go back to a job. You know, the money is coming in. They actually have been there. And, you know, I just really admire that, you know, just because I see the hard work, you know, and they weren't, you know, kids of famous people. They just worked their buns off and just got it done, you know?
Exactly. Now, what do you think about the current events right now as far as this whole Jada Pinkett, Will Smith, and this whole entanglement shit? That shit, yo, social media's having a field day with that shit. Oh, man.
Entanglement. First of all, Jada, when I first heard it, I was like, Jada lied. Like, I could just feel, because, you know, her first response was like something like, I wish. Like, now, what married woman would be like, I wish, when their husband is going to read that? What married woman would respond that way? You know what I'm saying? So then, I feel like it's really a publicity setup, because, you know, you just got an episode together too fast to blow your hair, make your hair spin around on your neck to respond. Like, you know, when you're planning a TV show, you're doing a TV show, y'all getting episodes together, y'all planning guests, y'all doing a lot of work getting those episodes together. All of a sudden, you have an episode, and now you got ads running to respond. It's like you plan on responding publicly. You had him to say, you know, it, because, you know, that's how Hollywood, like, I remember working with this PR lady one time, and first of all, and my number one instinct was, I was like, now Jada know, because, you know, Jada was hanging with Tupac, and I'm like, now, you know, Jada love her some young rap beat, you know what I'm saying? So I believed it immediately. But the thing about it, too, is I was like, heck, what was I going to say? I was working with the PR lady, and she was telling me, now listen, Dell, it's going to go slow, you know, because people really don't know you. So just hang in there, you know, and you'll get some publicity or whatever eventually. But if you got a sex tape, you can be famous tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? And she said that 100 times. She was like, but if you got a sex tape now, you can be famous tomorrow. So people leverage, like, sex and sexual relationships, you know, and that's why I think, you know, it's all, like, you know, it's all a scam because August, they try, you know, he's trying to blow up, too, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
everybody pretending like they so, you know, August is like, if I never love again, I know I have given my all to someone. No, you don't know what love, I mean, you feel like you love this lady, but you don't know what true love is until you're not in love with a married woman, because married woman, so you can't even experience true love unless you can experience true love all the way, and this could be your person, you know, you're experiencing true lust because it's something that you can't have, and men love but they can't have, but, you know, true love is not with a married woman, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Oh, man, that shit was crazy. Uh-huh. Yo, that's the first time I ever heard the... I'm 41 years old. Uh-huh.
Are you still there? Your phone is on mute if you're still there.
Yeah, you hear me?
I can't hear you.
You hear me? Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Yeah.
You hear me?
Yeah.
You hear me now?
My phone was on mute.
Oh, okay. Yes, I'm 41 years old. It's the first time I ever heard the word entanglement. I'm like, come on, just say you had an affair. Just say you had sex with another man. Don't use no fucking big. Listen, I'm from the Bronx. Okay, speak Ebonics. Okay.
Let's do that. Let's just admit the truth.
Come on, man. I don't know about. I grew up in the Bronx school system, the worst school system in the world. Huh? I don't know all that entanglement shit.
You don't gotta know that now. You know entanglement is full of shit. Huh?
Yeah, it's full of shit. You know, people. This is one thing I realized in the white man's world. The white man use big words to make it seem like he didn't do nothing that bad. Like you look at the word colonization. The word colonization or colonize is a nice word for invasion.
And enslaving people. Evading and enslaving.
Yeah. Exploring new territory for economic opportunities. Motherfucker, you killed and raped whoever's in the way. Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, but it's crazy. Yeah, but yeah, tell us about this album, this comedy album that you got out.
Yeah. The comedy album is, oh, God, I put it out I recorded it 3 years ago, and I'm just so happy that I put it out, and, my God, you know, I'm just so happy that I put it out, because you work all this time to get your name out there, and you wait for these big old companies, and you don't have to wait for a big company, you know what I'm saying? When you could just put it out there yourself, and somebody, like, you can promote it yourself, and it can go very well for people, and, you know, like, people have been loving the album. They've been loving the response. I've been getting a good response on the album. People have been downloading every time I inbox somebody. Because what I was doing is I've been advertising it, but I also been sending it out to people just individually asking them to support me, because I only have 7,000-something followers on Instagram. Like, you know, almost 8,000 followers on Instagram. Got 5,000 and four, like about 9,000 on my Facebook, and a couple thousand on Twitter. Then you think about another page that got, like, if you think of all of those people, 10% of those people, 10,000 people buying your album, at $10 a pot. You've made $100,000. You've given yourself a deal. And you don't owe anybody anything. You produced it all. You pay for it all. You are the executive producer. And it feels so good to have to look on Spotify, iTunes, all the music stores, and there's a catalog of my work. You know what I mean? So I'm working on a live album right now that I've been working on all year, you know, of my music and my stories together. But it just feels so good to, like, have control that, put it out there myself. And then, you know, it also makes me refocus my time so that I'm not, like, I'm not, you know, I was on this app called Bego because they hire, like, a lot of, like, live streamers. But I just got off of there because I'm like, if I just spend the 2 hours a day just promoting my album, then I'll get to that 100 G's a lot faster, you know? So I just want to do that, and I'm just so happy that I released it. And, you know, it, like, that 12-year mark, back to the question where you said, I'm good. I didn't say to myself, I'm good, but I said, I'm ready to record. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So that, you know, that, and that was at my 12-year mark. Now I'm at my 15-year mark, and I'm just like, I'm ready to just put the albums out and let it rise. Let it rise on, because I really do like seeing, you know, a body of work out there. Like, you know, people look you up. They can look you up, and you're showing up in the search engines in music. You know, just like they can look up Richard Pryor, they can look up your thing too. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Okay. That's cool. So is it less pressure kicking jokes in a studio because there's nobody around compared to being live on stage with a bunch of people?
Oh, no, I did it live on stage. I didn't kick no jokes in the studio.
Oh, I thought you did. Okay.
Yeah, no, it was live with people, because that's the only way to do a comedy album. If I'm doing it, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, some people you could do it in the studio. You just need, like, artificial claps and all that.
Well, I don't know. You know, then you have a comedy recording. You don't have you can do an album, and maybe some people are good, but like me, I got to feel the energy. If you listen to my album, you'll see people was interrupting me. Things was happening. Like, you see me in my element. This is what I do. If something happens where it goes off skip, my man was there interrupting me. You know what I'm saying? My homegirls was there. Like, you can see all of that in the background, and then you can see me getting back to what I was talking about, and that's what makes the album so fun. And so far, it's been, like, very well received.
Okay. So tell us what venues you performed in.
I performed in absolutely, oh my God, so many of them. Like, so many of them. You know, you name it. From Caroline to, first of all, I think I performed in every single club in New York besides, like, Levity Live.
About Hot Comedy Club?
Hot Comedy Club? I performed in them all.
Okay. I used to work there at Hot Comedy Club.
Maybe High is new. I don't know, but as High as went through some, like, name changes or whatever, but, like I performed in them all at one point. I either had it on the individually produced show or on the shows, on the club show, like, every last one of them, you know? Because 15 years, I've been doing it 15 years, so you just get around, you know? In 15 years, you just get around.
Have you performed? What's that famous L.A. club? The Comedy Store?
Yep.
Okay.
Now, the Comedy Store has a famous club a famous show called Crack 'Em Up Thursdays, and I'm one of the rotating hosts for that show. So, in fact, before we got shut down, I was scheduled to host, and then they shut us down that Thursday, so.
Okay. I remember I saw you at the, I saw you at this recorded a comedy show. What's it called? Laughaholics.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. You kept on saying shubba, shubba, shubba.
Wait, where was that at?
Laughaholics. It was...
Laugh track.
Huh?
Laugh track?
No, Laughaholics. It was...
Wait, you saw me live there?
No, it was... It was a comedy skit. It was like a comedy sketch show hosted by Cypher Sounds.
Oh, yes, that's called Laugh Track.
Oh, Live Tracks. Oh,
Yes,
okay.
yes. Okay, I'm like, what? Like, you was about to.
No, not
You about to
Laughaholics.
get my
I'm getting
money in trouble. Like,
confused.
I did not tell them they can record me. Let me call over to Laughaholics, because this is another
Is a
thing called
Laughaholics. I'm getting that confused Laughaholics.
Laughaholics. Yes.
Yeah, that was
But
funny.
anyway, yeah, no, yeah, no, and that show was so fun. That shit was just so fun.
He kept on saying shubba.
Yeah.
Was funny. That was funny. I gotta see that one again.
Yeah, no, it's just so fun. You know, I have so much fun on stage. And in fact, I just was walking past a stage, like I was taking a run, a walk on, you know, in Hollywood, and I saw some people standing outside, and I was like, what is going on up in there? I hear some music and stuff going on. And, you know, this was just like last week or whatever. And he was like, oh, it's just like a rap show going on, but, you know, we going to do some comedy too. Why you want to do some? He was like, do you do comedy? I was like, yes, I do. And I was like, he was like, well, you want to perform right now? I was like, let me go see. Is it people in there? And I went upstairs, and it was just people seated, a microphone, and just waiting for a performance. And I just got right on stage, performed, you know, did a set, sung my song, and then roll out. I was like, that was the Lord. The Lord knew I just needed to get on stage and do something. So I'm just so happy.
Okay, that's cool. So how do you want to take your career to? Are you planning to be on like a Kevin Hart type of level, or
Oh
you just don't
yeah.
give a fuck?
No, I way give a fuck. That's why I moved out here, because I plan on being on the Kevin Hart, Tiffany Haddish level. And I just want to make certain that I get there, which is why I moved out here, because you know, you have to be highly visible. You have to be in movies, you have to be in TV. And I found that I was not making as many moves as I was like when I lived in New York that I am here. And I love New York so much, but I love my career even more. And I do find that I experience, you know, success here. Now, of course, you know, so many factors when you start experiencing, you know, success, you know, your confidence level has grown, you're more comfortable with yourself, you know, you know how to network better. So many things, like you can probably still make it from New York, but, you know, well, actually, not probably still. You can definitely make it in New York. New York is full of connections or whatever, but I feel like, you know, I want my career to take me to the movies.
Of
And
course.
that's why I'm here, is to get in on that Lionsgate lot, to get on that Warner Brothers lot, to get on that Paramount lot, and I will not stop until I see the fruits of my labor, you know? That's it, because there's no going back. It's not like, oh, I don't really need to be. No, I do. You know, some people be like, I don't really want to be famous. No, I want to be known for all of these blood, sweat, and tears. Like, this has been a lot of work. Why would I?
15 years strong.
Huh?
I say 15 years strong.
15 years strong, and then I'm not gonna turn around and be like, well, you know, if I don't make it, or I don't become famous, whatever. No, what? No, I'm trying to adapt to become known and leave my legacy, because I have literally interrupted my whole life. I was working. I was 27 years old, you know, making 60 G's, 70 G's. Like, I interrupted all of that to now go follow my passion. And I don't regret a thing, but like, I'm definitely, you know, you take a financial hit, and I'm definitely going to see the financial fruits of my labor, but also the visibility, leave my legacy, like where they will be like, you know what, Bell Harrison, she was good, she was nice to everybody, she was a cool girl, and she was so funny, her music was dope, she, you know, she wrote, she acted, she directed, she produced, she hosted this talk show, yo, she was in this movie that was so funny, yo, these you thought with this person, you thought with it, like, that is the legacy I want to leave. You know what I'm saying? So, and I will just not be stopping until I get it.
I mean, what you was doing before comedy? You said you quit your job for comedy?
was doing tech support.
Okay.
Tech support from various law firms. That's actually how I moved to New York. A law firm hired me as a tech support analyst. And, you know, I just moved there, and that afforded me to be able to move to New York. And thank God, because, you know, I could live in New York and afford New York, and then I just stayed there for 3 years, and I left it and haven't looked back.
Oh, that's cool. I hate living in New York, to tell you the truth. There's never been a time in my life I actually loved living here. I'm going to keep it real. And I was born and raised here. Man. Oh, man.
Wow.
For real. For real. When's the last time you've been to New Orleans, since you're from New Orleans?
I was in New Orleans last November for Thanksgiving.
Okay. That's cool, yeah. Well, thank you, my sister, for being on the Grind Ethics Mixtape Show. Finally, you came on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, definitely. So tell people where they could contact you.
Well, contact me on Spotify, Apple, iTunes, Google Play Music, Amazon, and download my debut comedy album called Oh Yeah, Girl. Please download that whole album. It's only $10. That way supports me. And you can find me on all social media. I am D.E.L. Harrison. I am D.E.L. Harrison. Also, too, when you go on all the music stores to find my comedy album, also download my song called Boom Boom. I got a house song. It's a fun song. It's called Boom Boom by Del Harrison. You'll see it when you go to find me in the music store. I hope you are following your dreams, and may God bless you on your journey.
Oh, thank you.
I'm going
to holler at you, sister.
Okay.
Peace. Yeah, that was my sister, Del Harrison. Thank y'all for listening. Anybody that liked this episode of the Grind This Mixtape Show, I'd be very grateful if anyone could hit me with a small donation. Grind at this Cash App. That's Grind at this Cash App. I don't think I said it earlier, but Grind at this Cash App. That's the link. Also, yeah, keep on following your dreams, peoples. You know, like my homegirl, Del, she did what she had to do. She left her hometown and she left her job to do what she loved doing. And she's doing good now. She's doing better. Anyway, I'm out, peoples. And remember, peoples, tell a friend to tell a friend, that's all about the motherfucking grind, basically.